have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
A love song, a long song to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell you, I love him tonight. I love him tonight and every night. Welcome to For His Glory. I am one of your hosts, Apostle Brian Blessingame. I'm here with the Lord, and I'm here with the most fabulous producer, Dr. Kimmy Kim. And tonight we say thank you for joining us on For His Glory. Well, tonight, even as far as this morning, I started thinking on some things about being thankful. A lot of times, so many people nowadays are just taking a whole lot of things for granted. It seems like I see it a lot more amongst our younger generation. I really can't fault them because it seems as though it's always got to do something with your upbringing. Along with that, I keep seeing and I keep hearing talking about being blessed, how they speak over themselves and over their lives about being blessed. And I'm not knocking that. That's good because the power of life and death is in the tongue. However, I'm finding out, or I haven't found out. I have found out. I'm not finding it out. I have found out that the key or the main key to receiving your blessing unto God. Yes, that's right. Obedience unto God. And with obedience unto God, in order to do so or be obedient unto God, it requires faith. I will say this. The closer your relationship with God, the more that you're in the Word with God, the more that you're spending time with God, your faith begins to grow. And it's so much easier to obey God when your faith is up as opposed to when your faith is down. Because when you're not really having that relationship with God that you should, your faith is down, and you can know that it's God, you can hear that it's God, and even though you know it and hear it, because it's God, it may seem impossible to you, or it may seem like this thing is just too hard for me to do, so I don't know why he's asking me out of all people to do it. But to God be the glory. God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly who he's dealing with, and he knows exactly what he's getting out of you. And the big thing is that he's not getting it out of you just for you, but it's for others as well as you. With that being said, let's look at Genesis 22nd chapter. A lot of you who are saved, you're familiar with this particular passage of scripture. So we're looking at Genesis 22, and we're starting at the first verse, and we're going to have to do the 19th verse, if you will. In the first verse, and I'm reading from the King James Version, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto Abraham, he said, Behold, he said unto Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." Let's go back, because I know that in the King James Version, it used the word tempt God. God tempt Abraham. But there's another passage in scripture that says that, you know, that God tempts no man. So actually what it is a test. God was actually testing Abraham. And in today's society, it's God, I'll hold it until a little bit later, but he was actually testing Abraham. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Telling him to take his only son, his only begotten son, and my God, he's asking him to do something, and it's really amazing because the very thing that Abraham, or he's asking Abraham to do, I'm getting ahead of myself, God himself is later on is going to do the same thing. And he says to him, take now thy son, in the second verse, thine only son Isaac, notice how he stressed that, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He's wanting him to offer up his only son as a sacrifice. Let me remind you, this is a son that God had promised to Abraham, and the son didn't show up until Abraham has probably reached, I think, 100 years old or so. So he's waited on this promise, and now that he's got this promise, God is saying, offer him up as a sacrifice unto him. Notice, Abraham didn't question God. It don't say that he even told his wife, which is a very smart move, because sometimes when you're dealing with God, you can't tell everybody what God said because you will get other people's views, other people's opinions, and some, because it is God, and because God moves in the supernatural, they may not be able to comprehend the thing that God is talking to you about. First thing is, God's talking to you and not them. So it's going to be hard for them to comprehend anything anyway, because the conversation is between you and God, not them and God. But he told me to take him up and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Listen, he woke up early in the morning, which shows me he wasn't dreading doing what God asked him to do. He didn't do any procrastinating. A lot of times, if it's something that we really don't want to do, and God tells us to do it, we may not get on it right then. We may put that thing off. Some of y'all, I'll say y'all, I'm my own worst critic sometimes. Some of y'all are really wise in that area. You know, you'll go ahead and jump right on it because, you know, if you start procrastinating, you might not mess around. You mess around and might not do it. But anyway, he rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. In the fourth verse, it says, and on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. What Abraham is now showing, he is speaking out of his mouth, me and the lad, we're going to worship the Lord with this burnt offering, and we're going to come back. He telling them before it even takes place, we're going to go up here, we're going to worship again to you. I in the land will go yonder and worship and come again to you. God has told him, you're going to offer him up as a sacrifice. Now, it had to be some kind of faith that Abraham knew, or some kind, he had to have had some deep relationship with God to know that God was not going to take his only son away from him, because he's stating this thing. He is speaking it out of his mouth that we're going to go and worship, and then we're going to come back unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. They're going to the place to make this sacrifice. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, Isaac is saying, I see the fire. I see the knife. I see the equipment. I see what we need in order to have this or make this sacrifice. However, I don't see the lamb. I don't see the lamb. I don't see that which we're supposed to slay and kill to perform this sacrifice. I don't see it. This is Isaac. Then I don't see where the burnt offering is. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now I'm looking, not only am I looking at the faith of Abraham, but I'm also looking at the faith that Isaac is having in his father. Tells me that Abraham had been teaching Isaac the ways of God as well, because at the word that Abraham spoke to Isaac, Isaac took it at face value. In other words, there had to have been some type of different things that Abraham had taught him concerning the things of God and concerning himself. I believe that Abraham wasn't the type of father that said, look, do as I say and don't do as I do. I believe that Abraham not only taught him, but I believe that Abraham was an example unto Isaac, so that it even at this point, when Isaac did not see a sacrifice, he could still believe the words that was coming out of the mouth of his father that said, God will provide a sacrifice for himself, which means and tells me that there's been some times when Abraham probably touched and agreed with Isaac, and they saw the hand of God move. So this was no big thing for Isaac to hear his dad say, God will provide himself a sacrifice. We're going to go. We got the fire. We got the knife. We got the wood. And yeah, you don't see the lamb, but God will provide. God will provide himself. Verse. It says, and they came to the place which God had told of him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. Now, you ask me, if I'm Isaac, he done bound me. This is different. but he had to been still dependent upon the word, because I'm quite sure there was other sacrifices, that they done before this time, and it's probably the first time that I throw away the probably, because this is the first time that the ropes had been tied upon Isaac during this time of offering or making a sacrifice. I'm quite sure in his mind, Daddy, you ain't never done this before. You have never put rope on me before. You have never bound me with rope during this time of sacrificing unto the Lord. I still don't see the sacrifice. So this is again, it's telling me that Isaac also had to have faith in what his father had spoke to him about God providing his own sacrifice. God would provide that lamb. I'm telling you, there had to have been some moments that they both have experienced. There must have been some hard times that they both had experienced. There must have been some times that they had been without experiences where God showed up at the last moment. I'm not just talking about Abraham's faith. I'm talking about Isaac's faith as well now, because here he is. He still don't see the sacrifice, and now he's tied up. He is tied up, bound, Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, this, again, I'm telling you, again, this is something more than likely has not been done while Abraham and Isaac, and I'm going to say this too, and mom gave or made a sacrifice unto the Lord, a burnt offer unto the Lord. I imagine that most of the time, that's the other thing. Most of the time when they did this, I'm quite sure that mom was there too. Sarah was there too. But for some reason this time, mom's not even there. Hey, you can't tell me that suspicion with Isaac has not gone to an all-time high. Most of the time when we do this, Dad, we got mom with us. Most of the time when we do this, the lamb is already here. Most of the time, you never have bound me, and you sure didn't put me on the altar, and you sure didn't put me on the wood. But now here I am on the wood, and we still see here that there's no discrepancies, there's no arguments, there's nothing. Oh my God! Kind of puts you in the mind of God and his only begotten son, Jesus. He went to the cross without a mumbling word. They beat him. They spat on him. They did everything but call him a child of God. And he did not dispute, argue. He just stretched his arms wide and hung his head and gave up the ghost. 3 days later, he came back with our power in his hand. Listen, the exact same thing that God Abraham would do, God already knew that this very thing he was going to do with his only begotten son. He tested Abraham. Let me say this a little bit farther. In the 10th verse, it says that Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Again, he stretched forth his hand. He got him bound. He got him on the altar. He got him on the wood. And now he's getting ready to shed blood. There's still no argument, no discrepancy. But at the last moment, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And it said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. It was a test. God sometimes tests us to find out where our heart is. He already know where our heart is. Sometimes he wants to let us know or shows us how and where our heart is towards him. Sometimes he does it to allow us to get certain things in order and put him first. Let me say this. God have been showing me different things pertaining to people getting into idol worshiping. And idol worshiping comes in several different ways, shapes, and forms. But an idol, and you worshiping idols, basically is anytime you put anything before God, anytime you love anything more than you love God, that thing has become an idol to you. And in a lot of cases, because God is a jealous God, those things that you allow to become an idol to you, God will remove them. Because he said, I am the Lord thy God. I am a jealous God. Thou shalt not have no other gods before thee. So you have to be careful how you place different people in your life. If you make them, take them and place them before God, God will begin to remove them. That's why you hear so many times, you hear different pastors that when the people come up to them and they say, hey, I enjoyed that word. It was a good word. And a lot of them say, praise the Lord. Because, number one, we realize it really wasn't us, no way. It was God, number one. Number two, I don't want to become an idol to somebody and God plucked me up out of here before my time because somebody thinking or have placed me on a pedestal to where they think I'm not God. I'm just a servant of the Most High. I'm just his son. God has just anointed me to do what he called me to do. Nothing more, nothing less. So keep me in my rightful place and keep him in his rightful place, which is above everybody, everything, every living creature. Let's keep God the head so that we don't become idols. Because I'm telling you, man, one thing about God, like I said, he's not going to have anything before him, especially once you have committed yourself, committed your life to him. He must be and he always be, shall be first. Something else he kind of dealt with me about, or he did deal with me about, you know, people, even with some loved ones, they have a tendency to, as long as I pray I'm helping somebody here. They have a tendency to where as long as you're giving to them, as long as you're spending money on them, as long as you're, so-called catering to them, then they will show you love. They will show you gratitude, or they'll show you thanksgiving, and or they will even show you respect. This right here, hopefully I'm helping someone, because like I said, please pass this down to your children, because some teach their children that once one of the parents, I'm talking about some of those that may have gone through a divorce like me. some people teach their children that once or if they're not doing this or doing that for you, then you don't go around them. You don't go see them. You don't call them. You don't have no conversation with them. Blah, 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 blah. And they want to try to end that relationship. In other words, they want to try to hold that child as hostage because they feel like that this particular person or the other spouse or other person is not doing what they want them to do. And it's become a thing all about money, and there's no place to place or have a child in that particular place. But and because what I'm getting at is this, simply this. There's times that God himself will test us. This is what this passage is about. And there's times that in the things of God, it will seem like you can go to God and you can ask him for anything and it will just happen. Bam, bam, bam. It's just happening. It's just moving. Bam, bam, bam. And then all of a sudden, it will seem like things just dried up. And when that happens, God is wanting to see. He's testing you. Are you gonna praise me like you was praising me when I was answering prayers? Or are you gonna stop praising me now that you're not getting the results that you used to get? Are you praising me and are you worshiping me for what I've been doing for you? Are you worshiping me and are you praising me for what I have done for you? Are you praising me? Are you worshiping me because of what I do? Or are you praising me and worshiping me for who I am? Who I am? Who am I in your life? And see, we have to teach our children that sometimes people are placed in a predicament to where they would like to be able to do certain things, but right then at that particular time, they just can't do what it is they want to do for you, let alone be able to do what they want you to do for you. Jesus said, hey, just because I'm not able to do it right now, don't, my love hasn't changed for you, and your name and your love have not changed. Or your love shouldn't change for me. A lot of people don't understand that sometimes in life people hit hardships. People hit a bump in the road. They think you're supposed to be 100, the whole, no. In this life come trials and tribulations. So sometimes people have to understand that, hey, they would if they could, but right now they can't. So they, I know this country boy right here. So right now, they ain't. But this is one of the biggest lessons that, you know, that we must hold on to. Because out of Abraham's obedience, out of Isaac's obedience, came a great reward. Not only was there a reward, it was also an experience because in the 11th verse, the angel of the Lord called unto him and said, don't put your hand upon him. He intervened. In the 12th verse, it says, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And in the 13th verse, it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So, basically, Abraham prophesied that God was going to provide his own burnt offering. And we saw the miracle take place. That was a miracle in itself. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. So God showed himself to be the ultimate father, but he also showed himself to Abraham to be a great provider. The Lord will provide for himself the sacrifice. Angel in the 15th verse, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Listen, let's back up a little bit. Thing that stands out to me also is that God himself asked Abraham to do something that he knew he was going to do later on. Out of Abraham's obedience, though, God intervened and said, no, don't slay your son. He found out Abraham was willing to do the same thing that God himself did, but God was not going to allow Abraham to outdo what God was going to do. I'll let that sink in for a minute. There was no way God was going to allow Abraham to do something that God himself was going to do. He wasn't going to let Abraham outdo him. God knew, and that's the other thing, that he was going to offer up the perfect sacrifice, sacrifice without sin, the sacrifice that was going to take away the sins of this world. So I really, even though in his obedience, he still wasn't the perfect sacrifice. He still wasn't the sacrifice that we needed in order to take away the sins of this world. But yet, he used Abraham as an example to show us that we should not let anything interfere or come in between the love that we have for the Father. And in return of that, God not only blessed him, but he blessed his seed. In the 18th verse, he says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. When you want to be blessed, obedience is always the key to receiving your blessing. I have never seen such a time as now, or before now, to where I've seen several different people who wants to be blessed, expect to be blessed, but they want to walk in disobedience. They want a blessing. They want to feel relieved. God said, you shall not have no other idols before you, but yet you want to burn a candle to try to find peace. You can't tell me a book, chapter, or a verse where it tells us, in order to find peace, burn a candle. It don't tell you anywhere in the word to find a runaway evil spirits, burn sage. What we're doing, or what a lot of people are doing, and they say they're Christians, you're opening up doors for spiritual warfare. You're allowing different spirits to come in because you're giving them place. And the Bible said, give no place to the devil. You're giving them place because Jesus has already given you peace. Even before he went to, he said, my peace I give unto you, even as I give it, not as the world give it. So why are you going to try to get peace through a candle? The candle didn't go to Calvary for you. Candle did not die on the cross for you. And the candle sure didn't get raised on the third day without power in his hand. Why are you burning the candle? Why are you seeking? See, this thing has become an idol because you're seeking this instead of seeking the face of God. Jesus said, I give you perfect peace to those who keep their mind stayed on him. So why are we putting our mind on a candle? Why are we putting our mind on stage to do away with evil spirits? Jesus said, I give unto you the keys, the kingdom, to the kingdom. And he said, whatsoever you bind, he said, he'll bind it on earth. Whatsoever you loose, he'll loose on earth. Why are you wanting to try to burn sage? Why are you wanting to look at your zodiac sign? Oh, I know I'm hitting hard now. Because you're gazing at the stars looking for an answer when you can go to the God who created the stars to get the answer. It reminds me of the scripture where the man said, you know, that they lifted up his eyes in hell and he said, you know, hey, let me go back. Let me talk to my brothers, you know. And God said unto you, look, they got Moses and they got the prophets. Let them hear them. God got everything situated. He's got everything in a plane. All we have to do is adhere to his word. He's got the answer. And when we do so, we see here that not only do we get blessed, but God is always looking at the bigger picture. God is not only blessing you for your obedience, but God start talking about how to multiply that blessing. Lineage to set up his legacy. That's what we have to realize is that the picture is always bigger than just you. The picture is always bigger than just us. And obedience is the key. Obedience has always been the key. And obedience will always be the key. Disobedience won't do anything but get us. And we saw that with King Saul. He had the instructions. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew what he wasn't supposed to do. But he did what he wanted to do, and it cost him dearly. It cost him dearly. So I'm not just talking to you all tonight. I'm talking to myself as well. But if you really want to be blessed, if you want your family to be blessed, obedience is the key. Being willing to sacrifice something that you desire yourself. In order to please God. That's the key. Being willing. That's what we saw right here. Because he was willing to make that sacrifice, God provided that sacrifice for himself. So with that, I'm going to bring it to an end. I pray that the Lord has blessed someone who may be listening. I pray that the word find a lodging place in your heart. And I pray that the word of the Lord becomes fruitful in your life. Also that if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you would like to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you can just humble yourself right now. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and if you believe that he died for your sins, and if you believe that on the third day God raised him from the dead with all power in his hands, you shall be saved. So just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that Jesus is your only begotten Son. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and my iniquities. I believe that on the third day from the dead with all power in his hands. I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior right now. I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm asking Jesus to save me, sanctify me through the word of the Lord. I'm asking Jesus to fill me with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, give forth other tongues, the Spirit of God, give me utterance through the Spirit. And I'm asking you to make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving me. I renounce Satan in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for saving me. Now, if you've said that prayer and you desire more prayer, you can reach me, Brian Blassingame on Facebook, Brian Blassingame on Instagram, Brian Blassingame on Snapchat. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to pray for you. And again, we thank you for your time. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for listening with us on For His Glory. And remember, whatever you do, let's try to do it in decency and in honor. But most of all, let's do it for His glory. Kimmy Kim, we love you. We appreciate you so much. And we're going to ask that you will take us out and have a great, marvelous night. The rest of it anyway. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen. Good night.
Give me a heart where your love surpassed. Give me a heart that's soft as a whisper, able to stand in the toughest winter.